What's up? This is Movies on Up. Existing soon, parentheses, all caps. We are Movies on Up, and my caps locked co-host is Mr. Ryan.
So I got to yell for the rest
yes,
of the...
Yes, and I am Dave.
That's not gonna work for me.
And we are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, existing soon, parentheses, all caps. We are Movies on Up. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, and the Twitter @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, your mailman will use his big old feet to walk you up a prize package. This week, it's October still. A couple days ago, we did 2012. Throughout the month, we're doing our favorite 5 horror movies from each year the podcast has existed. Started with 2012. Today is 2013. Guess what next week is?
2014.
Yes, yes. And then we go from there. So
it's only taken me a week, but I figured it out how it goes now.
Just to kick off October, this is the second episode of the week. And then next week, 1 year a week, and then a movie a week. So I'm excited for that because we have some cool movies we're watching. How was 2013 for you? Good year?
Apparently it was, yeah. A lot of these ones, sometimes I have a good memory for when things come out. That's more like from the 70s, 80s, maybe even the 90s. But recently, I just have no idea. Like, I go back and look, I was like, oh, shit, that was 2013? Okay.
I think that happens when you talk movies every week. And, I mean, we used to do news episodes where we talked about movies as they were casting and coming up and talking trailers and stuff. So we'd follow movies. We both watch a ton of movies. So the last, like, 7 years of movies are just a blur. I'll see something and realize, like, oh, that was from 2005? Like, it seems like just a couple years ago. Then I'll see something that's like, oh, that was only 2014? That feels like it's like a decade old.
Some things age well better than others,
yeah,
too.
So let's see how 2013 aged. Ryan, your number 5 favorite horror movie from the year of our... Devil 2013.
It is a remake of a movie that had come out in Mexico in 2010. This time around, it was directed by Jim Mickel. We Are What We Are, starring Bill Sage, Amber Childers, Julia Garner, Cassie Wesley DePava, and Kelly McGillis. Welcome back, lady from Top Gun. Like I said, he remade a Mexican movie of the same name, but probably in Spanish. I don't know what that is in Spanish. I've not seen the Spanish one. I've seen this one. I like it. It's a slow burn that almost feels a bit like it's a period piece, and that could be because of the journal that one of the daughters reads about their family's pioneer roots, which do come into play later in the movie, and it could just be because of their odd insular behavior. It almost feels like you're spying on, I don't want to call out any particular religion, I don't want to say like an Amish family, because I don't think Amish people do this. I know some Amish people, and they don't do this. But
also don't listen to this podcast. I'm just joking.
I don't know.
Joke.
If you're Amish and you listen to this podcast,
back to work.
That barn's not going to raise itself. But it's that sort of insular, not exactly trusting of outsiders that I think makes me think of cultures that are removed. They do a fantastic job of building the unease in this movie as it goes forward. You may have an idea of where it's going to go, especially if you're really paying attention to the pioneer stories. They're really kind of laying the groundwork for what you're going to see at the end. Kind of once you realize what this ritual that the girls are getting ready for, then it becomes kind of fun to watch them decide if that's something they want to go along with, like generations of their family have done, or if they want to try and break away from that and they don't know what they would be breaking away into because it's so insular.
Yeah, this was one of my also-rans. I watched it when it first came out, like when it first hit like video or whatever. Like it was a fine horror movie. Last year I went back and rewatched it because Julia Garner, she steals every scene she's in on Ozark. And I knew I'd recognized her from somewhere and realized that she was from... So I went back and rewatched it. It's a good movie. It's a solid, solid movie. And she's great. She's... steals every scene in Ozark both seasons, and she's on Maniac, which is phenomenal. It was cool to go back and kind of see her. But yeah, it's a good movie. It was one of my also-rans. Probably should have made it over my number 5, but it's one of those that I feel should be recognized, maybe. It's from director Mark Forrester, written by Drew Goddard, based on a book by Mel Brooks' son, World War Z. It's your mainstream action tentpole horror zombie franchise starter. Liken it to The Mummy, the Tom Cruise Mummy, where it's like, okay, it's a quote-unquote horror movie, but it's a tentpole. You're looking to build something.
Movie star.
Yeah, and I mean, Brad Pitt, I thought Brad Pitt was good in this. Brad Pitt with long hair, I think is, but it's based on a book that
really wasn't anything like the movie.
It's nothing like the movie at all. It shares the same title.
Yes.
And that's World War Z, the book, is such a cool experience. World War Z, the movie, could be a decent movie, but I don't understand why you had to call it World War Z. It's so far removed from what the source material is. But you had somewhat workings of something that could be good here. It's probably closer to like I Am Legend than a good zombie movie, because it focuses so much on being this big time franchise, big budget thing, and it loses what people love about zombie movies and stuff. Whereas I Am Legend lost a lot about what people like about isolationist movies and creature movies and stuff. And there is some cool stuff. It's one of those that it just needed a couple tweaks. Like, and it went through extensive rewrites and reshoots and stuff, and the whole ending was completely redone away from the super depressing original ending it was supposed to have. But it was also supposed to be kick off a trilogy.
Right.
Which we're not going to happen now. We're 5 years later and you haven't heard anything about it. So I'm not upset about that. It's one of those that it came and went, and it's okay. That's it. It's okay. As an attempt, it failed. Like, it's a failure. It's a massive failure of a movie. It's not a good movie. But for what it tried to do, like, it's okay. It had moments.
I don't want to classify that as just like, you know, you have your hits and misses within a year. And then some years you just have more things that had potential and just with a couple tweaks could be better. I hate to lump my next two movies together, but you're going to see why I do. They're both, to a certain extent, comedies. Having a ton of funny people that really should have been better. It was very difficult to figure out which is going to be my number four and which is my number three.
They're probably my three and four as well.
Probably.
Based
so
on what you're saying.
I'm just going to go with the one that I feel like just based on the directors would be higher on your list, but I think I like it less, and especially on a horror movie list. So I'm gonna lead with Robert Ben-Gurion and Thomas Lennon's Hellbaby, starring Rob Corddry, Leslie Bibb, Keegan-Michael Key. Both of my next two, in addition to being comedies, feature Kumail, long before people knew who the hell Kumail Nanjiani was. With Hellbaby, I think you get exactly what you're expecting or should be expecting from a Grant and Lennon movie. Keegan-Michael Key is outstanding in this movie. He steals every scene he's in, doing this ridiculous character that I love and would love to see a spinoff with his own story. I think it's a bit light on the horror elements. If this were a comedy list, it'd be a much higher up my comedy list. But if you can't decide, you know, if you like horror and maybe your partner is more into comedy, I think this is a good one to watch. The comedy partner's probably going to be a little more satisfied. But I mean, it's a funny movie with a lot of funny people that you're going to recognize.
It's my number four. You know what? I like it more than the number three. But looking at it from a horror standpoint,
right.
I think number three is more of a horror movie and made it's more memorable. Hellbaby, I think, is a... I love it, but yeah. I love everybody in it. I'm Ben-Gurion and Thomas Lennon's book is right behind me, so like I'm a shill for them, and I love it. It's exactly what I wanted out of this movie with that cast, these directors. It's everything I expected, and it's one of those that it feels like it's directly made for me because I really did love it, and it was everything I wanted it to be. I like it more than my number three, but... You are right, it is light on the horror stuff.
Yes.
It's hilarious. It's a great comedy. And I adore it. I adore this movie.
So that leaves for the number three, Jacob Vaughn's Bad Milo, starring Ken Moreno, Gillian Jacobs, Patrick Warburton. Hellbaby was much more of an ensemble piece. Like, everybody got...
This is a Ken Marino movie.
Yes, this is 100% a Ken Marino movie. It follows Duncan. You kind of ditch the Rosemary's Baby elements of Hellbaby for more of a basket case type spoof, but an asket case, so to speak. Milo, I think, is a bit more even keeled than Hellbaby, but does seem to kind of be closer to the... I mean, Hellbaby is, okay, let's make Rosemary's Baby, but let's make it a comedy. Bad Milo is like, all right, well, let's take one of these 80s creature movies and kind of redo it with a lot of funny people. And wouldn't it be funny if the demon came out of his ass? That's hard to not play for laughs.
But it's not as funny as you would expect.
Exactly.
It's like they took
somehow.
They took this great comedy premise and focused more on making like a horror movie.
A lot of times, and I'm going to mention this later, but a lot of times with horror movies, you use a monster or something to try and tackle like human emotions. And a lot of this was just about Duncan trying to assert himself as a man. And it just so happened that from having what he thought was an ulcer or a polyp, it turns out to be an ass demon that by force makes things happen for Duncan. So it's trying to assert yourself, be your own man. And horror movies do that. But this, I mean, it's more of a horror movie than Hellbaby, but it's not. And it's tough. It's tough to classify.
And it could have been as much of a comedy as Hellbaby, but it wasn't. This is one of those that, like, it could have been a lot better. I like it. You look at that cast of Hellbaby, and it's like, oh, how is Ken Marino not in this? Because you have so many other...
Because he was busy doing Bad Milo.
You have people from the state, and that's why these movies are so easy to... Because if I tell you, like, oh, there's, like, a Rosemary's Baby remake where a family moves into a haunted house, or there's a movie where a guy has an ass demon come out of his ass, which one do you think is directed by the guys from the state?
Yeah.
So this sounds like what you would expect out of Hellbaby, but it's not. It's also my number three. I don't know if I made that clear. It's a fine watch. It could have been a great watch. And I'm a Ken Marino shill. I love Ken Marino more than anybody probably should. Like, and I love him in like a leading role. Because you don't get that as much. He's usually like off to the side. But,
he was great in this. It was his movie and he was really good.
He's really, really good. And I really like this movie. But it could have been a lot better.
That's our middle section.
That's a theme, I think, of this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when we get to the top, we're going to be okay. These movies were just as good as they needed to be. I'm certain we're going to have crossover on number one. Maybe not for number two. I think that of the movies that I have for this year, this is, I think, the most studio. It's still kicking around. It's kind of sparked its own universe. We talked about The Mummy, how it was supposed to relaunch the Dark Universe, and how World War Z was kind of supposed to be a trilogy. When James Wan directed The Conjuring, that's really where the Wanaverse came from. So much of these other Annabelle and The Nun, all this shit, The Conjuring 2, all these things branch off the Warrens, which were played by Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. Ron Livingston also shows up in this movie. Wan's a guy that, especially for this era of horror, you can't talk about horror and not mention him. You go from this, I want to say indie beginning, because Saw, in its roots.
The origins of Saw.
Yeah.
It was a studio movie. The origins are very indie.
Yeah, and even, when Saw came out, I still think that was kind of grassroots. That was, all right, we're going to plop it down in October because it's the only scary movie in that month. People are going to see it. And because he did such, the sequels became derivative, but that's not his fault. He made such an impactful movie that he got into the studio system. He's directed a Fast and the Furious movie, which is a billion-dollar franchise.
A superhero movie.
Right. He's now doing Aquaman. So the guy has gone from indie horror roots to being a fantastically bankable Hollywood director. And I think The Conjuring is a great example of, it's not that he's abandoned horror, because he certainly hasn't. But this is a great example of a James Wan studio front-to-back movie, and it's really good. I don't think it's a giant surprise that most of our lists are going to be comprised of non-studio films. But this is a great example of a guy that's a fantastic filmmaker, especially within this genre, not overly relying on gore or jump scares, though the movie's got some of each. He's able... James Wan specifically, to build this atmosphere in his movies to me, it really feels like if you're watching a James Wan movie, you know that. It's not obtrusive, but you know that it's one of his, because he has a style. He has a way of drawing you in, and I think that's a real skill.
It's going to sound disrespectful. I don't have any Wanaverse movies on any of my lists, and that's not a discredit to him. It's just the horror he does is not... the horror that draws me to horror movies. I will never discredit him and say, like, oh, he makes shitty movies. He just makes horror movies that aren't for me. He makes horror movies for a different audience.
They're very commercial.
And that's fine. He has become what studios wanted to make M. Night Shyamalan in the early 2000s. He burst onto the scene with Sixth Sense and Signs and Unbreakable, and then it was like, oh, we can spin off this. M. Night Shyamalan presents Devil. It never worked. But with James Wan, he's like, I picture like, I'm obsessed with like coaching trees in the NFL, like Belichick and Parcells and like all their disciples that go on to coach. And that's what Wan is. Wan is at the top of the food chain. And there you have The Conjuring and the reason I don't get them is because I get them mixed up. The Conjuring, Insidious, which I don't even know if that's him. They all just blend together to me, but they have their audience. And he's mastered that. He's mastered the like, okay, we made this movie. There's a creepy doll that's in it for a minute. There's a nun that's in it briefly. Now they have their own movies.
James Wan did Insidious. Okay. Lee Wannell's the guy that I put because he wrote it. I think he directed one of the later
Lee
ones.
I like Lee Wannell more when he
But they both
star
Patrick Wilson.
That's probably why. Yeah. Lee Wannell branches off, and I like him a lot more when he focuses more on his writing. But I mean, they came over together. So like they both built that great career off of Saw. And I don't disrespect Wan. I will never discredit Wan. It's not for me. And that's fine.
Like, I liked Insidious a lot, but that movie was from 2010.
Insidious is the one I like up until the last 10 minutes or so, right? Yeah. Yes. So, and then I think there were sequels that I skipped, but like.
Yeah, I think there's been at least two.
Yeah, because Rose Byrne's in the first one, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, so like, I like stuff about his movie. They're just not for me. Like when something like Winchester comes out like this year, like that's I'm sure it's a quality horror movie. That's not for me. That's not for me. It was my number one, but I think I'll switch it to number two just because then I think that makes my number two your number one. Directed by Andy Muschietti, it is Mama, starring Jessica Chastain, Nikolai Coster-Waldau, Megan Carpenter, and Isabelle Nellis. It's a horror movie. This movie's rough. It's one of those that you have a really good director. This is Andy Muschietti. I think this was his first like American movie. But then Jessica Chastain is one of the few actresses where every performance of hers pretty much I watch. And then it's like, how did she not get an Oscar for that? Like, she's one of those like you watch Molly's Game. It's like, how is that not even nominated? And she brings that to this. She brings that to just a horror movie. It's a family that live essentially in a cabin in the woods with two kids that are obsessed with Mama, who is not her. And it's dark. It's terrifying. She's especially great. The kids are good. Handsome Knight does what he needs to do there. But it's this movie that builds up and builds up. And sometimes horror movies don't leave a good taste in your mouth. And this is one of those, unless you like kids falling off of cliffs or something. Like, I'm not a big fan of Suicide Kids, but like, it's a good movie. I'm liking it to The Bay. I really like this movie. Do I want to watch it again? Nope. Saw it once at the Dollar Theater, and that's all I need.
Muschietti will come up again later
in a couple
this
years,
month. Yeah, a couple years, and we're doing his movie. So if you're curious what he's been up to, we'll get to it. The fellow that directed my number one is, you know, like I know I like his movies, but going back and doing this list, he's going to appear a couple times, and he's still doing stuff that you look at what he's got coming up. It's like, oh, he's doing Labyrinth? Oh, that's going to be fucked up, but I can't wait. That guy is Fede Alvarez. The Evil Dead is my number one from 2013, starring Jane Levy, Shiloh Fernandez, and Lou Taylor Pucci. Raimi's Evil Dead has such a devoted fan base. You know, we've seen three movies, a TV show, comic books, video games. Hell, Ash was supposed to battle Freddy and Jason at some point. So with all that being said, trying to remake or reboot this franchise, even with Raimi, Tappert, and Campbell all on board as producers, was always going to be a tough sell to audiences. How on earth do you make an Evil Dead movie and not have Ash in it? Those two things are so intertwined. People may be familiar with the chainsaw-armed guy. They may not even be able to tell you what movie he's from, but he's such an icon, especially.
Or if they can, it's probably Army of Darkness that they think to, because that, I think, was the bigger, most wide-released one.
For sure. But somehow, Alvarez did it. You'll recognize some of the events from the Raimi Dead movies, although they happen to different characters, and you have these deja vu events that, you know, they act as fan service to a certain extent while still allowing this movie to be its own thing. Ash is a hard shadow to escape. So much so that I felt like they were compelled in that post-credit scene to just kind of, oh shit, there he is! They didn't need to do that. They were able to make a really excellent horror movie that, you know, does feel like it shares DNA with Evil Dead, but doesn't feel like it's trying to remake the same things that we've seen before. It's almost like, hey, this particular evil likes to repeat itself. So it's just like, this is a similar situation from similar demons that just happened to a different group of kids.
And that's where this movie was a hard sell. It's also my number one. So it is now. It's a hard sell because when you think of Evil Dead, people that do like it, what are the number? Ash and the goofiness. Even the Necronomicon is like a comic character. Like, it's just a silly character. So to dub this as a remake, I think is a really, really bad disservice to it, because they're not remaking The Evil Dead. This is a reimagining. And usually I'm like, fuck you about the language.
What's
between
the difference?
Remake and reimagining. Yeah. But in this one, it's very, very relevant, because they aren't remaking Ash versus Necronomicon and Demonites and stuff. This is just another horror movie that faces those same demons. I feel like this movie is received way better if it has any other title. It's a Kids in a Cabin in the Woods movie. I mean, it is. Go up there to, what's that word? Intervene? Intervention? Somebody?
Yeah, intervention.
And you're attacked by demons. That's the plot of the movie. That's all you need. You don't need that Evil Dead name. And then...
But if they call it The Cabin in the Woods, it's going to tank too.
Yeah, I'm a Jane Levy shill. Like, I love Jane Levy. She was great leading this, and it led her to some other horror movies.
She'll be back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She'll be back. She's fantastic. I love her. She's one of those that there's just something about her on screen. And she was on a sitcom, Suburgatory, and she did that great. To this, to like other stuff she's done that won't show up because it's not horror movies. She's just really, really good. And she should be one of the biggest stars alive right now, because she is so good. And I think she's done a good job of avoiding projects and not just capitalizing on being hot right now, which is kind of going to prolong her a little bit more, because she was supposed to be in The Boy, but she backed out and the Walking Dead lady stepped in. So like, there's other stuff that she was attached to that she stepped out of that ended up not doing that well. So I think she's amazing, not just in horror, but overall. But I think she's really, really good in horror movies.
That's going to come back, but not next week. I was looking forward. I was like, what are my 2014 movies? Because I have no
this is one of those where
reference
it's like,
for when things
only
came
2 years ago? Like,
yeah.
Like, it seems like, it seems like it was right after this. But no, it was only 2 years ago.
There's one movie in 2014 that I'm like, wait a minute, that was that long ago? Because I feel like it just came out, and I've just been talking about it to people. 2014 is a solid list. They've all been cool, but I'm legitimately excited to stop talking about 2013 and immediately record 2014, because that's what we're going to do.
Did you have any also-rans in 2013?
I didn't do also-rans because I just literally picked my five favorite. I know we're going to have crossover, but I don't want to switch any out.
Because I only had We Are What We Are and Willow Creek.
Yeah,
the
Willow
Bobcat
Creek.
Bigfoot movie.
Yeah, when you mentioned that one, there was a movie, and it might have been The Conjuring, that I was like, you know what? I like that better than Willow Creek. I'm going to put that on
there.
That's
how
I put
it real
high.
I forgot Hellbaby was that year. And Willow Creek was on there, and then I replaced it with Hellbaby. So.
Willow Creek was good.
It
real
was a
slow
burn, but the good parts were good.
Yeah.
It was what Blair Witch wanted to do.
That's it. Like, it's very much a Blair Witch movie, but I think it never at any point in Willow Creek did you feel like you were actually watching like a real thing.
Yeah.
So
you knew it was
because it was directed by the guy from Police
Academy. Next year is 2014, and we will be back with that next week along with Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Because Goosebumps 2 comes out. So I'm excited for the rest of it. I just like October. So until next week.
Keep it up.